Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, one of my all-time favorite hip-hop tracks. I'm not the only person that loves some good hip-hop. Jeff Hayden in studio. Yeah, he loves some good hip-hop.
I do.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Good to see you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always a good day to be in studio with you, bro.
As my grandfather said, it's better to be seen than viewed.
That is true. I ain't never heard that one.
That's a good one.
That is a good one, man. I love talking politics with you as a former member of the Minnesota Senate. But real quickly, since I was talking hip-hop, who was your favorite rap act? I'll say act. It could be a solo artist or a group of all time.
Yeah, Public Enemy, all right off the top. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, that's. I mean, I got a lot. Slick Rick, Run DMC,
There's so many.
But Public Enemy and Chuck D as the top lyricist, like, hands down, that's my groove. I would have ran through a brick wall, you know, for Public Enemy in their heyday.
My goats is Tribe.
I mean, you
can't tell me nothing about Fife and Q and Ali. I mean, they just, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, and that was sophisticated, and they had brought this, you know, all the bebop, all the jazz there. But, you know, P.E. was the militant. It was the chaos.
I love P.E.
It was the revolution, right? Like, you know, and I thought I was going to be in it, you know?
Let me tell you this real quick. My first ever concert, ever hip-hop concert, I was a kid. I wasn't even old enough to go by myself. I was literally like, 12 maybe?
Right.
So we're down south at my grandfather's in Newport, Arkansas.
Okay.
My dad and uncle take me over to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in the, I think it's called the pyramid. And I see Raising Hell, Run DMC.
Yeah.
And on the tour opening for them.
Yeah.
Was Public Enemy and the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
That was my first ever. That was my introduction.
Yeah, that's the heyday of Def Jam, Russell Simmons, the whole nine. I got it, man.
That's crazy. All right, so let's dive into the political realm and some other things in the second segment. But I want to start with, because you've been there, done that.
Yeah.
In being in the Senate, what is the atmosphere like right now with regards to a special session? Like, is it intense? Is it like people feel like, you know, there's more pressure on them because this is kind of like the overtime for what we're doing in the political world? Mm-hmm. Kind of lay it out for me.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, it's overtime. It's double overtime, right? Like, it's really intense. Folks have been working together. And then this session in particular had three, you know, special elections. Senator Desick passed away. The Supreme Court got involved in saying if they could meet or not. They had a Speaker Emerita, which they never had before. Only the second time in the state's history you had a tie in the House, 67-67. Only a one, you know, majority Democratic in the Senate. So, like, put it into perspective, you have 101 overall, 101 Democrats and 100 Republicans. So that in of itself makes it tight. You have the Trump era, which, you know, kind of on a daily basis, something is new that's coming out of Washington. And so it's unstable wherever you are on the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you also have a economic forecast that's okay for the next 2 years, but gets drastically worse in what we call the tails, the out biennium, the 2 years after that, in which the legislature is trying to manage that. So without going into the woods or the weeds, you got all of these issues, and then you're coming off of a trifecta in which they did the most, Democrats did the most progressive things that the state has ever seen. Things, and one of the big things that they're fighting out now is health care for undocumented immigrants, Medicare for all, our sick and sick time, you know, paid family leave that everybody would have. These are some of the big things that they did that are even free lunch and breakfast, which is fantastic, but all of these things kind of rolled out, and most of them cost a lot more than they predicted. So you got a looming deficit. You got bills that are coming in that cost more. You're in overtime, and your margins are really tight. So you don't have like majorities that can just kind of push these things through. You have to negotiate. Last thing I'll say, I was talking to a House member. He said 75%, he thought, this is him, he was a Republican, he said other Republicans have not been in the majority, and 75% of the Democrats had not been in the minority. So you got people who are new and unfamiliar with the process. So you put all of that together, it's really, really, really intense. And here's the caveat. Because you have to balance your budget, that by, if you don't have this figured out, right, they adjourned on Monday, but if you don't have this figured out by June the 30th, mm-hmm. right, then the state starts to shut down non-essential workers, or if your budget has not been figured out, you start to get laid off, and those layoff notices come June 1st. Right. So now you got people who are really being affected either by because they work there or you're delivering the services. Think about people in the disabled community, people at state parks. So you got real pressure now and people are paying attention.
All right. So let me ask you this. When the average Minnesotan sees a headline and it says Minnesota lawmakers fail to finish budget on time, head towards special session. Do they view that as super negative, or do they view it as this is just part of politics?
Well, unfortunately, we've had mixed government. We didn't have it the last biennium, but before that, we went 6 or 8 years with divided government. And so, you know, we had back in 11 when the Republicans were in charge and Mark Dayton was there, we got to that starting to like, not just a special session, but to start to shut down government. And it really, really affects people. So people, I think, are like a little desensitized because we've had so many in COVID. We had a ton of them because we needed to re-up it every month. So I think people right now, people are a little are desensitized. However, the longer that it goes, that pressure is going to build on members. And let me say this, today is a day right about now where they're supposed to have it figured out, and then they start to do all their paperwork and hope to come back right after Labor Day. But like, people are going to start going home. What I mean, people, legislators are going to go home to their districts, and they're going to go to their picnics, and they're going to go to their coffee shops. They're going to kind of, you know, get back in their districts, and people are going to start to let them know. So there's going to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah. All right, so let me pivot to, I want to talk about Governor Tim Walz for a second. And it's not about whether he's going to run for governor again. Because, and I haven't talked to anybody, I feel like he is, right? I just, you never know.
Right.
But I have the feeling that he will. But this is the question. How do you think that he is overall, generally, here in Minnesota, viewed? And the reason why I ask that specific question is because I feel like you are in with Walz in the Walz camp, or you just flat out don't like him, and there's really not much of a middle ground. And I ask that because I was at a soccer game a couple weeks ago. I went to go see Messi at Allianz Field, and somebody, a business owner, super progressive, was not a Walz fan, which surprised me. It surprised me because they felt that he wasn't, how do I want to say this, the most authentic with being that guy, being progressive. Right. How do you think that he is viewed? I'm not saying how you view him. People view him?
I got it. Well, I think that that's a fluid situation. And let me say this, as a recovering politician, I know that's not the quite answer that everybody, they probably thought I would give. But let me say this, these things evolve, right? So if you would have asked us 2 years ago, and I still think today, though I haven't seen recent polling, you know, his polling was really high above, anytime you get above 53, 54%, that's pretty good, right? So, you know, really popular,
And I think that was like a year and a half ago.
And that was a year and a half ago. Then he went on a campaign trail and, you know, things started to come out. And like, let me say this. The things that came out on Governor Walz and the campaign trail, that was a relitigation of things that we had already talked about. There was no new explosive stuff. It just meant that you were going for a higher office and people now got to talk about it again because a bunch of people had never heard it and they were getting to meet him. So I think that he came back a little wounded nationally. Even though he's a, you know, he's a smart guy, and I think he's a plain-spoken person that people like, but people were starting to like figure out his vetting was like really public and really fast. Now that he has come back home, I think that he is trying to figure out and is taking a look. And not only just Governor Walz, Governor Newsom in California, Governor Pritzker in Illinois, Governor Beshear in Kentucky are all kind of all like seem to coming a little more to the middle, right? So let me get to the point. Governor Walz has a lot of progressive credentials. He came in as a blue dog out of Congress. Then he became a, you know, really a progressive. But now progressives are starting to question him because, for instance, the Medicaid for All that I talked about, he kind of modified that. And I think he did that because he is looking at the state budget. It cost a lot of money. It's not always popular with everybody. It is with a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. But his job is also that he needs to help lead and balance the budget. So he made the tough call with the legislative leaders to phase out the Medicare for All, the Medicare for Undocumented, and only keep their kids, which incents progressives, right? Which let me get to this point.
Yep.
This is the problem that I think that we're having in this country is that you have to be all in or all out politically for political active people, but most people are much more in the middle. Some things they like, some things they don't. Some things they do, you know, like they recognize it. And so what happens is politically the talking heads either say, listen, I'm all in and you got to be all in with me. And when you kind of evolve or you find out that there's something else that you learn or something, or like something cost a lot more than I thought it was going to cost, so I'm going to have to, you know, like, you know, I went to the mall and I looked at some watches and I looked at them and then I looked at that and I looked at my budget and that watch I was looking for the last year, I can't afford anymore, even though, or better yet, maybe do something I promised to my son. And now I got to come home and say to him, I can't do it. And all of a sudden there's an issue. So I think that Governor Walz is trying to figure out. He's a great spokesperson. I think people are trying to figure it out. And I think he is starting to figure out like where he needs to go in order to lead the state and where the country is in terms of how in this particular case, how Democrats can regain the White House and regain Congress.
Talking to Jeff Hayden, former member of the Minnesota Senate here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more from Jeff because I want to ask him about whether something that has occurred with Donald Trump is calculated, and also, will Minnesota Republicans have one specific issue that their constituents will be upset about? We get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got my guy, Jeff Hayden, in studio on The Late Show. And I said that there were two questions I wanted to ask you about. I'm going to start. The first is, okay, because I have the Late Show tomorrow night, and then Friday night I'm not going to be here. I have to be at a movie premiere for the 612 movie, which is a short doc about the Twin Cities in the aftermath after George Floyd, what happened there, and how the world, and specifically mm-hmm. this area, reacted. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, every time when we get around Memorial Day,
sure,
it's a big deal. It's a big story. My question is this, though. The timing with regards to now all of a sudden, consent decrees and the Trump administration withdrawing from the federal consent decree that was meant for reform with Minneapolis right. Police Department. Do you think that this has been calculated from the Trump administration to the DOJ with regards to the timing of all of this. Look, this is not a shocker. It's not a surprise to me that this is eventually where we're at, and it's very unfortunate. But the timing of it, I find quite odd.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that. I mean, but there has been this drum beat that somehow, you know, Derek Chauvin and his contemporaries weren't the reason that George Floyd passed away. There's this, you know, kind of well-documented, you know, the Alpha News and others, you know, have talked about Liz Collins and this stuff is that, you know, it was his underlying health care issues that did it, even though, you know, and that's like, you know, like the epitome of gaslighting. Yeah. It's like, don't believe what your lying eyes tell me, you know, when you see me with somebody I shouldn't be kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the underlining cause was being pinned down and a knee on his neck and all that stuff.
As the issue, right? You know, so it feels that way. Thank God for the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. Their kind of decree, if you will, or their agreement is still in place, and that the mayor and council members are still going to move forward with essentially the essence of what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's going to happen.
Mayor Fry has already said the city's moving forward.
Yeah, they're going to move forward, and the state still has jurisdiction. Same thing that if there was a pardon of Derek Chauvin, like the state, you know, will still be able to, he'll still be able to serve his time. But I do think that there is a group of people that are in charge that are very powerful that believe that this is the right thing to do. And let me just be clear, it also is very popular, not in all law enforcement circles. I want to be clear because I want to, you know, don't have that kind of trouble. But it is very popular in some law enforcement circles that, you know, that Officer Chauvin got jobbed on this deal. I mean, I don't think so. Not only did we watch it, but then you look at his record and you start to figure it out.
Yep.
That I don't, you know, I don't think so, but I do think that there is definitely some political calculations behind that.
No question about it. All right. The other thing that I want to ask you about, because I want to, before you get out of here tonight, I got to get a Wolves take out of you too.
Yeah.
We got some NBA basketball. But the Minnesota Republicans, okay, the GOP here in the state.
Yeah.
I want.
Know many of them.
I want. Yeah, for sure.
I know Fishbach. I know Tom Emmer served with them.
You know
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And by the way, Emmer ain't got back to us. Yeah. I wanted to get Emmer on the show.
Because
I know him from way back.
I'll give him a
call.
Yeah.
But I'm going to check the number and see if it's still the right the number I got back from my days of doing stuff with him at K-Fan way back
in the dog pound when I was in the house. Yeah. Him and Kurt Zeller. Yeah.
But this is the question. How are people about to react to them, and how are they going to respond specifically to their constituents, to the people that they're supposed to be representing that voted for them to represent them when the tariffs kick in? We have heard last week that Walmart has come out and said to everybody, price is about to go up.
Right.
Nike came out today and said, guys, price is about to go up.
Right.
Prices could go anywhere from 2% to 10% on products with Nike. It's not going to end with Walmart and Nike.
Right.
Other companies are about to come out and say, it's about to hit the fan.
Yeah.
How do they try to spin that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, they tried to say that this will be a short-term pain for long-term gain. That's
not a great spin.
Yeah. No, but I mean, but that is what they've been saying. It's like,
because we've seen national, I've seen that on
short
CNN.
Term, and then but long term, you'll be better.
Yep.
You know, the second thing I think the Trump administration does is to threaten and intimidate those companies to say, don't do it, or somehow we're going to find a way to come after you. I mean, it's just flat out just gangster stuff that they, you know, sometimes do. And if all else fails, Donald Trump will like turn it off. He'll say, okay, I was just playing. I didn't really mean it, and we working out a deal, so I'm going to suspend. He did that with the cars stuff. He said, hey, wait a minute, we're going to take 90 days,
get,
you know, cooling off when they all got to him and said cars are immediately going to go up. So, like, the thing about, you know, the President Trump and the Trump administration is they'll try all these tactics, and if they really think that it's going to hurt, then he'll repeal it. He'll walk away from it and go do something else. And I think that that has been kind of what they do. And then, so I think, you know, Congresswoman Fishbach, you know, I consider, you know, a friend and served with her, even though we were diabolically opposed to just about everything, but spent a lot of time and same thing with Majority Whip Emmer, who's the third ranking member in the House. I don't know, Congressman Stauber or the others all that well, but I think that they're going to stick with the president, because usually what happens is he pushes this all the way until it actually hurts people or he hears enough, and then he'll turn it off. Now, what does that do for the ships that ain't coming over here, and how long does that take for the supply chain? I'm not a logistics specialist, but I think that there is going to be some pain. But there is a funny thing about the folks that, not all, but a lot of folks that supported President Trump in the MAGA movement, is that they are willing to kind of forego even some of the issues that may hurt them for the kind of idea, like this kind of like larger than life cult, like, you know, big spiritual leader kind of thing, that I'm finding that people will either not believe a word that someone says against them, or they're willing to kind of sacrifice some things because they believe in the long-term vision.
Let me read you this headline, and this is the last thing. Because I want to keep it local. This is from Yahoo Finance.
Yeah.
Target badly misses on earnings, slashes guidance as it battles DEI backlash and reinvigorated Walmart. How does Target pivot moving forward? Because I think that Target has a real problem. Right. I'll be the first to say that I used to always be loyal to Target, red card and all, supported them, would go multiple times a week.
Right.
I can count on one hand how many times I've been to Target recently. I'm dead serious. Since all of this happened,
absolutely.
And their losses has been Costco's gain.
Yeah.
So does Target rebound?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And with all full disclosure, my little sister worked for them in marketing, and a lot of friends and family. And, you know, I popped in there one day. I was getting my car charged, and where I get a car charged is right where the Target is in Southdale. And, you know, a lot of the employees there were people of color, and just people in general to make a living. And so that kind of hit me that
I'm
like,
a fan of the brand.
That, like, people, like, the brand's good and people are trying to make a living. We know people like Houston White and Tabitha Brown, people that we even personally know that have been, you know, marketing their products and growing their business, generational wealth. So I do think that they have to figure this out. I think reshuffling the chairs on the Titanic is not going to do it.
No, it's not.
So I think that they're, so I think that you got to figure out, you know, and I want to be careful here. I don't know the CEO. I'm not one to start calling for people's heads.
Yeah.
But I do think you're going to have to get a different set of leaders, different vision. And there's more than capable people that I know that are consultants that have some great ideas on what Target could do. This has been kind of starting and escalating all the way from the LGBT kind of stuff that the backlash they had in certain cities all the way to now. And I think that it was the wrong strategy. I think it was like Elon Musk going after environmentalists when the reason why they bought their cars was to save the earth. So I think that, you know, we're going to have some really, a really different thought process and probably a new person at the helm.
Target, I've always been loyal. I've always been a supporter. I've lived in other places,
right,
in other cities. Heck, just a few years ago, like when I was living in Kansas City for 5.5 years,
right,
I'm Team Target. Like,
right,
I'm loyal.
Yeah.
They're legitimate. I have friends, black and white in various different races. They said they'll never spend a dime at Target again.
Yeah.
There are some people that are like that, and they're going to stay true to their word. I'm not that person
because,
like I said before, I've been back in the
store. Yeah, and it's an authentically Minnesota company from Dayton Hudson all the way
for
through,
sure,
right? So I think that people will change their mind. People are really pissed off, but I think they have to have a separate and a totally new approach.
But that's us here. It's a national brand.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it emanates from here, and I think that they are going to have to do – but I think there's going to be more pain, right? There was someone that told me one time when we were going into the minority said, sometimes you have to see hell before heaven. And so I think that they may be on that trajectory.
I appreciate it. Hey, thank you, man. Jeff Hayden joining us in studio, as always.
Threes got to hit them threes, baby boy. That's what we
got
to do.
Yeah. Well, what you got? Real quick, who you got?
Yeah, we're going to bounce back, but Oklahoma City's really, really smart. Their coach is smart. And they are going to take away Ant and Julius as much as they can.
Wolves,
they're
going
to have to. You know, I got Wolves in seven. If Naz Reid, our cult hero, DiVincenzo, who's been off, and Shea's cousin, I always get all the names mixed up.
Yeah.
His first cousin. He's got to do something. Mike's got to shoot with the left hand, not the right hand. I don't know what he thinks he's doing with that flip shot. Hopefully he's listening, my boy.
Jeff Hayden in studio. Hey, coming up next, we're going to take a break. We'll take a look at the local weather. And then the return, Kelsey Carlson, Fox 9 news anchor. She joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's our favorite. That will be Kelsey Carlson. She's joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline. I know that it's been a while, but I appreciate your patience, Kelsey. How have you been?
I'm the favorite. I mean, I've been great.
Yeah, I mean, the Twins just get in the way of our conversations, that's all.
That's okay. We love baseball season, you know, and we love having the Twins on our air. We love that they're playing, and the rain is kind of getting in the way, but love baseball season. A summer night at a ballpark is like one of the greatest things ever.
So let me ask you this real quick, because I love the fact that the Twins broadcast the games on, I think it's Tuesday evenings, right, when they have the Tuesday games. But when the Twins were off last night, of course I'm doing a full show. When mm-hmm. the Twins are not, because TV is a different medium, when they're not able to be on television, then what's the pivot there?
Well, that's still, I think, a little bit of a work in progress. We had to figure out something last night because primetime moved. I think that's advertised to air after 10:35.
Yep.
So they did not move primetime back to its normal spot. So we aired, just put in some Fox programming, and then we aired our news at its normal time. But yeah, a rain out is kind of a tough situation. We have 15 games that will air on Fox 9 throughout the season. Most of them are on Tuesday nights, and then we have some Saturday games too.
Yeah.
It's a great partnership.
Yeah, I love seeing the Fox guys up in the press box, specifically just seeing Jim Rich around the stadium.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff, man. It's a lot of fun stuff. You know what else is fun? It's Timberwolves basketball. So last year, yeah, I had a blast with you and Amy and Randy. It just phenomenal. Ahmad, everybody just fell in love with the Wolves last year. They have made it back to the Western Conference Finals. I know that game one didn't go the way that we would have liked, but just kind of your thoughts on the Wolves getting back to the Western Conference Finals and how you feel about, like, this series. Are you excited?
It's exciting. I think I've been trained now to be cautious, a fan, that you don't want to get overly excited. I've been schooled. You don't want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak, with Minnesota sports teams. So, you know, I know how to temper the excitement, but it is so thrilling. The Timberwolves have not been to a final, an NBA final. So they've been to the Western Conference Finals 3 times now. It would just be incredible to get past this Oklahoma City team and, you know, Chet Holmgren, too, and see them go to the finals.
Yeah.
So I love the energy. I love the fan base that keeps building for this team. And so, you know, I'm just excited to see what happens. It's too bad about last night, but I mean, this Wolves team has proven that you can never count them out, ever.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I do got another sports nugget that I want to throw at Kelsey Carlson, Fox 9 news anchor here on the Late Show. And it's tonight. Actually, to be honest with you, Chris, we need to get it up on a television. Paige Bueckers taking on the Minnesota Lynx at Target Center. I'm a massive Paige Bueckers fan. I absolutely love her. I don't want her to win tonight because I want the Minnesota Lynx to stay and remain undefeated. But just any excitement around Fox 9 with regards to Paige and her return home?
So I was going to list that as one of the top stories for our 9 o'clock tonight. That we have two crews down there, the Lynx playing Dallas, Paige Bueckers back home, first time playing in the WNBA here in her hometown. Super exciting. I know I was talking to a little girl today. Her sister was going with her basketball team with the hopes of getting some autographs tonight. from the links, and then also hoping to get Paige's attention. So when you see the fans, the young fans, and how excited they are for women's sports, it's really, really exciting. So, yeah, it's a big time in sports right now, and for Minnesota sports. And, you know, kids who've come out of Minnesota. It still feels like yesterday that we were watching Paige in high school. And now, like, she's out of college. She's playing in the WNBA. So that's one of our top stories tonight. And we have a couple crews down there to try to get post-game. Hopefully we will hear from her.
Yeah, Paige is one of the all-time greats. And when you think about how time flies, it has flown for one Paige Beckers. Yesterday, we saw the news about George Wendt passing away, the star from Cheers. Oh. Everybody loves Norm. In your opinion, where does Norm rank in terms of television characters all time for you?
Boy, that's a good question. So let me first just say that we made sure that theme song was played during our news last night when we mentioned his passing, because I don't think they do theme songs for TV shows any better than they did in the 80s.
No.
Those songs were just so iconic.
Yep.
I almost started to tear up just hearing it. But in terms of characters, and I have to think, you know, I've worked weird hours, Henry, over the years since I graduated from even in college and then post-college. I've always worked really strange hours that were not really conducive to a lot of good TV watching. So I have to go way back to, like, when I was a kid. And although I will say Ted Lasso is my favorite television series of all time. I don't know what it is about that series, but it fired up like just everything Gen X. And I just loved the heart in that series. So, even though I wasn't a Friends watcher, again, because I worked nights for so much of my career, Jennifer Aniston is like an iconic character. This is a tough one. You're putting me on the spot. I'm going to think of all the good things to say after I get off this phone call.
No, it's all good.
When I think of TV shows, I do go back to the 80s because that's when I sat down to watch TV with my dad. And so it was always MASH, Hill Street Blues. Occasionally, I got to stay up late to watch Fantasy Island, and like Different Strokes comes in. Like Different Strokes is a big show. Facts of Life. Those were all the big shows that I can remember watching as a kid. Okay, yeah. Let me think a little bit on it. Tell me what your iconic TV show characters are.
Oh, I mean, Norm was definitely one of them for sure. I loved Webster, Emmanuel Lewis. He was awesome. I loved, you know, Theo on the Cosby Show. I loved Archie Bunker. He was amazing. I mean, there were so many that I just used to love way, way back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't Webster's dad's name like George Papadopoulos?
I think you're right. Yeah. Think about that for a second. You know?
Oh, like, that's the stuff I really remember. And then, you know, I don't know. It's like you grow up and you're busy and with whatever you're doing. And I haven't gotten hooked on a series in a long time.
Yeah.
But Ted Lasso was like, in the last 5 years, like that series was huge.
I think the ultimate I think the ultimate for me as a kid was Arnold. Gary Coleman is Arnold on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about Willis.
Yeah, what you talking about, Willis? On Different Strokes. Like, he was the man. He was the man.
Yeah.
And Chad Hartman's texting me. He's like, Webster, who are you? Yes, Webster. Emmanuel Lewis. You don't like Webster? What is he talking about? And Webster's like literally somebody that I've met multiple times. Because when I was in college, he was at the college right across the street at Clark Atlanta University while I was at Morehouse. And the last time that I saw Emmanuel Lewis was in the sports book at the Bellagio like a decade ago. It was pretty funny.
See, we're the same age, so that was the lineup. I mean, it was like Punky Brewster, Silver Spoons, Facts of Life, which had a ton of stars on it. and Different Strokes and, Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Well, don't even get me started with Facts of Life, because Tootie was like my crush as a kid.
Yeah, she was adorable.
Absolutely.
And George Clooney plays kind of like a goofy, you know, 20-something guy, and then he ends up going on to be this heartthrob for decades after that, which, I know what I wanted to say. I saw a clip on social media the other day that took me back, because it was from Different Strokes, and it was an episode with a character from The Office as a kid. She was a child actor doing a guest appearance on Different Strokes. And that made me just smile. Number one, Different Strokes was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, Janet Jackson was, she was also appeared on Different Strokes from time to time.
And she also,
you remember that?
But what was the other one? I'm blanking. The one about the inner city family. I'm blanking on the show.
Good Times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good Times.
Oh, I saw J.J. Walker at a YMCA in Raleigh, North Carolina. He was there for a show, and he went to the YMCA to go work out. I was like, that is so cool.
Oh, man. This is just taking me back. This is good stuff right here.
You know, there was a band when I worked in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they were called Domestic Problems. But they would end every show with a set of 80s sitcom theme songs. And they would go, like, just do a chunk of each of them. And it would, you know, go one into another.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I always thought, that's a great idea for a band to end a show every time. Because you know it's coming, if you know the band. And those theme songs, once you hear them, you know all the words. Because they just stick in your head. So, yeah. I don't know. I heard a rumor that they might still be performing somewhere. But, yeah. Bottom line, they don't make theme show songs like they used to.
They don't.
That needs to make a comeback.
And since Chad Hartman's listening, I got one for him. And he better not say anything. George Jefferson.
I was going to say that next, too. Yes.
Absolutely.
As I was thinking of theme songs, I was like, we forgot the Jefferson.
Exactly.
Yes, George Jefferson. Oh,
all-time greats.
Good stuff.
All right. Yeah. So before we let you go, clearly we need to dive into what are the top stories and items that you guys will get into on the Fox 9 News.
Okay, so we did have some breaking news earlier today, domestic situation in Coon Rapids, where a man was shot by police. They are saying that he moved toward them with a knife during a domestic incident. This happened around noontime today on 11th Avenue in Coon Rapids. A woman reported that she had been cut by a knife, and then our officers arrived trying to de-escalate the situation. So we have Mike Manzoni, one of our reporters, working on that tonight. Simone Woolridge has been doing five stories after 5 years since George Floyd. And tonight's story focuses on the businesses at 38th in Chicago that are trying to get back to where they were, and just a look at how they are doing 5 years after George Floyd. And then her stories that have already aired this week, if you have not seen them, go to fox9.com and pull them up. Last night she spoke with the artist of the mural. And that mural is beautiful, but when you start to really look up close, and this story really does a good job of just showing the detail, and, you know, when you look back and you think about how quickly he put that together, it's really incredible. So sitting down and speaking with the artist, and she also on Sunday spoke with two officers who were assigned that area and who are working to build relationships with the public there, the neighbors, and the community again. So she walked the beat with them and got to know them and heard a little bit about their time. And for a while there, that kind of became a no-go zone for police. So there's a lot of relationship to repair there. And then we talked about the Lynx and Paige Beckers being back. The weather is a big story, and we're still watching the wildfires up north.
Gotcha. That's a lot. Well, always a pleasure to have you on the show, Kelsey. By the way, next Wednesday, I think we are free and clear as well, so we'll have another appearance. Assuming that Randy will be available. You just let me know.
Yes. Okay, one of us will be available. So we are here, and and if anything changes, we'll see on another night, maybe.
I got you.
As these baseball games are scheduled during the week.
All right.
What was that? Was that dynamite? What was that?
I don't know. I didn't play.
Dynamite!
Yeah, Chris played that for you. That's pretty funny.
Perfect. All right. Man. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Take care.
You guys have a good night, okay?
All right, you too. That's Kelsey Carlson, Fox 9 news anchor, joining us here on The Lake Show. We went way over a quick segment before we wrap up hour two, and we do that next. Chris is trying to act like he knows something about this. He knows nothing about this. Banger. All-time classic. Chad Hartman doesn't know anything about this. What does he know?
What, are you saying that I don't know anything about TV?
No, you don't. Not about good TV.
Just because I like Tommy Lee Goes to College and Hot Tutor Natalie?
I'm just assuming you don't. You didn't know anything about Uptown. You didn't know anything about Filios. Back in the golden days of Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, I hate to tell you, but
Uptown, baby.
You might not
Uptown,
realize
baby.
It, but
Uptown,
we
baby.
We did have TV outside of the metro. I mean, it was a thing. You know, we were able to, believe it or not. Now, we might not have had indoor plumbing, okay? We might not have had paved roads, but or hot food.
Were you in a wagon? Did you have a horse?
Hey, why do you think they call it a one-horse town, okay? I mean, we're not, you know, I'm not always slumming it up with the poors. You know, not everybody can be, you know, bougie and from the suburbs. No, I know TV.
I'm not from the suburbs.
Well, from the metro. I know TV. Not good TV, but I know TV.
I'm not sure that you do. I'm joking. I'm not taking a shot at small towns. You know that.
Try that in a small town.
Final hour coming up. I want to address the big lie next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.